the Banjo Bowl. The Riders in all white. They will kick off. The Bombers will receive. Strebler, five-man pressure, and he is swooped up in it. He's sacked at the one immediately. Solomon Elamimian. And Strebler sneaking left side. And as you can hear, he's into the end zone. Oh, and a flag. Someone shoved down Nick Marshall. Marshall then went after him to a flag of his own, and three more flags fly. He went, jumped up, and hit Michael Couture in the back of the head. This is a mess already for the Riders. Four-man rush. Fajardo has time. Richardson forces him out, and he's going to be sacked by Willie Jefferson. Brett Lowther for the field goal to get the Riders on the board. The kick is up, and it is good. And there is so much beeping after plays. It is incredibly entertaining. Strebler running around for no real reason. Gets past Micah Johnson. Gets through Cam Judge. Strebler's still alive. To the 20, the 15. He broke two tackles that should have stopped him short. From about the four, Strebler looking to the end zone. Throws it up for Peterman in the end zone for the touchdown. He's taken at the 38-yard line. Grant busts through. Oh no, Grant into Rider territory. Janarian Grant is going to be gone unless Buka can get him. Bombers return touchdown.
It's like the Saskatchewan Rough Riders have totally forgotten how to tackle. It's embarrassing actually right now.
On the 1 yard line, Strebler is into the end zone for the touchdown. Make the end around. Strebler going deep. He's got Augustine. He's got him at the 30, 25, 20. Augustine, 10, 5, dives for the pylon. Where will they mark him? They say touchdown. And he's going up into the crowd to celebrate another Bombers touchdown. Cody, quarterback draw, straight up field, 5. Fajardo in for the touchdown. Riders finally score a touchdown. It's 35-10. Strebler feels some pressure, bounces out, tripped on his own man, and he's down. And that's going to count as a sack. What was a Cam Judge sack originally has now been credited to number 2, Micah Johnson, his first sack as a Rider. Fajardo, blitz coming, has to throw it up for Shaq on Winston Rosen. It's picked off at the 15-yard line. Strebler kneels it down, and that is the ball game. The 35-10. The Riders' win streak is over. It is a beautifully sunny day here at Mosaic Stadium. Perfect football weather for a matchup that is critical to both teams, the Riders and Alouettes. Riders coming in 7-4 off a loss that snapped their 6-game win streak. The Alouettes, all they do as of late is win. They're still 3 games back of the Tiger Cats in the East, but the Alouettes look like they're going to the playoffs. And if that game in Montreal tells us anything, they will be a stiff test for the Riders on this day. Derek Taylor and Mitchell Blair in for this segment of the Rider Nation pregame show. And we start with, and we'll talk about it for the next 4 hours and then maybe 2 more after that, Mitchell, no Charleston Hughes for this game. He missed practice on Wednesday, sat out most of practice on Thursday, did come later, had his equipment on, everything we thought was fine. Coach Dickinson said, hey, it's fine, he's a little sore, it's fine. Friday morning, depth chart comes out. There's Charleston at his defensive end spot. Friday afternoon, Charleston on the 1-game injured list and will not play. That is the biggest storyline of this game.
Yeah, it sure is, and it was made even stranger for the fact that Charleston Hughes was here for the walkthrough yesterday. I was talking to Mitch Picton. I know we're going to have that later on, and I was done that interview. Charleston went walking by, sort of gave him the nod. He gave the nod back. He did not look like he was injured.
Yeah.
Now, I know if you want to take the phrase of the day in sports, load management, which is what they did with Charleston Hughes this week, but I just find it odd that at 10 o'clock, when the Riders' first depth chart came out, he was on it. He goes through the walkthrough and then decides, yeah, no, I'm not going to play.
They decide he's not going to play, whatever it was.
It was
right.
Just strange that why wouldn't they, if they knew he wasn't going to play earlier? So, like, what happened between the time that they went off with walkthrough and the fact that the decision was made that he wasn't going to play? And I know a lot of people are making a lot of suggestions. I know at the Rams game last night, I had a lot of people ask me, so is there something more to this with Charleston Hughes? I had somebody say something which I'm not even going to repeat because I don't know if there's any fact to it or not.
Yeah.
But it just sort of seems odd that Charleston Hughes isn't playing. Now, it's not a game against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, the Calgary Stampeders. I don't want to discount the Montreal Alouettes, but they are an Eastern Division team. If this was a Western Conference team, if this was a playoff game, I'm guessing Charleston would be out there. But there's just a mystery now hanging over the stadium as to why Charleston isn't playing.
Yeah, and I mean, you can think of all the everything that's running through your mind is running through Mitchell's in my mind as to what it could be. Because load management, the game before you go into a bye week, doesn't make a ton of sense. Deciding between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. to load manage a guy when you had the entire week leading up to that 10 a.m. release of the depth chart, that 5 hours changing your mind on that doesn't make a ton of sense. Is there some injury in there? He's on the one game. Is there some nagging injury in there? He is sore, as any player would be, is what we've been told. As we saw him walking around at practice on Thursday, and as you mentioned at walkthrough on Friday, there's nothing obvious, right? There's not a dramatic limp that you associate with a knee. There's not, he's holding a shoulder. We just don't know. There's been no comment from the Riders as to what it is, other than he is on the one-game injured list. I talked to some folks who said, I honestly didn't see it. He was in meetings all week long, so I expected he would play, but he will not play on this day, and whatever's behind that will eventually come up.
And I just wonder, regardless of the outcome here this afternoon, I just wonder how long it will be until the question is asked to Craig Dickinson. So, what the heck, Coach?
Well, it'll be as early as the postgame show when Coach Dickinson joins us.
When will happen to Charleston? You win by 20, you lose by 20. There'll be those questions, obviously.
Yeah.
But how far into the availability with Craig Dickinson will it be until... Yeah, I'm not really that concerned about what the scoreboard says. What was the deal with Charleston Hughes and what the answer is?
Between you and me, it could be the first question out of my mouth.
It could be.
When we get him for the post-game show, because that has the potential to turn this game around dramatically, right? Charleston Hughes, I don't have to tell you, Charleston Hughes is a tremendous player, having a tremendous season. Number one in the league in sacks with 13. Number two in the league in quarterback pressures behind Willie Jefferson of Winnipeg. Number two in forced fumbles behind Willie Jefferson of Winnipeg. Apart from the couple games where Micah Johnson wasn't out, this is a guy who has impact on every game and demands attention on every play.
And I know there's a lot of talk about Charleston Hughes being the defensive player of the year in the CFL. I know there's still a debate in Ryderville as to whether or not Derek Moncrief or Charleston Hughes will get the nomination. But it's just, you don't know what's going on, and you don't know what to think. And like you said, with a bye week coming up, it makes it even stranger that this move has been done. And if this move was being considered, why not just do it when you release the original depth chart yesterday? And what happened between the time that the players went up the tunnel after walkthrough to the point that Ariel Zur had to put out another depth chart that said Charleston Hughes wasn't playing?
And it makes me feel bad because, you know, media's at the conference where we talked to Coach Dickinson the day before the game. You know, we didn't ask about Charleston Hughes, but
why would we?
Exactly. And the other part of that is we would have to ask about every player. Is LJ McCray healthy?
Yeah.
How is Mike Edom feeling? Oh, I saw Solomon Elamimian. He looks good. Is he ready to go? We're not going to do that for 46 guys. Right. So when they've told us, hey, he's in good shape, and we have no reason to think, essentially what Dickinson said Thursday, no reason to think he won't play Saturday. But by Friday, in that 5 hours, something turned and Charleston unable to go today.
Let's go back to the Western semifinal last year. Zach Calero stands in that room and tells us how forward he is to playing against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. 4 hours later, Zach Calero isn't going to play in the Western semifinal. Hello?
Yeah.
You know, like,
There's a certain degree to which subterfuge might be good, but if you have to announce it 26 hours ahead of the game, you didn't play any tricks on Montreal, so that couldn't possibly have been it. Earl Okine steps into his starting spot. Chad Jeter is onto the roster, the newly signed defensive end from the Montreal Alouettes. AC Leonard obviously has started every game. He's been healthy opposite of Charleston, so he will be at the other defensive end, and LeVar Edwards will back up AC Leonard. The guys in the middle, they are the same for today. Micah Johnson, Mac Henry, and Charbel DeBeer. But yes, no Charleston Hughes So we will be very interested to see the impact of that. This segment of the pregame show is for our friends at Redhead Equipment, the Cooperator. See Tom Bamford at Bamford Insurance Group in Regina, Sask Milk, the Wireless Age, your Sasktel authorized dealer, and Salford Group. And Mitchell and I are in the beautiful broadcast booth on the 50-yard line, brought to you by McDougal Auctioneers. Search it, watch it, bid on it. Buy it at McDougalBay.com and on the McDougal Bay app. So Charleston is out. In your mind, who does it fall upon to step up in this situation?
Well, I know we talked about this yesterday on the Sports Cage. I still think it's Earl Okine, just for the fact that he's the guy that's taking Charleston Hughes' spot. Ed Gainey has to be Ed Gainey. Nick Marshall has to be Nick Marshall. Derek Moncrief has to be Derek Moncrief. I can go on and on. Earl Okine, it's pretty tough for him to be Charleston Hughes.
Those are big shoes.
But he has to be an adequate replacement. And obviously he wouldn't be in the lineup if he wasn't going to be that way, if the coaching staff didn't feel he was going to be that. So I think that when you look at this defense, Hughes isn't there, but the guy that's taking over for him is the guy that maybe has the most pressure on him, because that microscope will be on him here tonight.
Because tough to think Micah Johnson could absorb any more than he already has. A man with one sack and four others that were this close to being sacks. Mac Henry is Mac Henry.
They're not sacks.
They're not.
They're whiffs. Let's talk about the whiffs.
Not even talking about the whiffs. The ones where A.C. Leonard gets the sack and Mike is a half a second, not even a half a second, a tenth of a second behind him. A.C. Leonard, four sacks in the season. None since the Calgary game is a surprising number with how well he started the season. In the Calgary game, you well know, a long time ago. He's got 10 quarterback pressures since then, but A.C. not able to get to the quarterback since then. Across that front, and then you may even include Solomon Elamimian and Cam Judge as blitzers, somebody's got to get to Vernon Adams, because Vernon is a dramatic step up from the quarterback they saw when they played the Alouettes in Montreal a few weeks ago. We are 53 minutes to kick off in the beautiful Mosaic Stadium on a sunny day in Regina. Other side of the break, Mitchell Picton gets his first start for the Riders, does it in his hometown, does it for the team he dreamed of playing for as a kid. We'll hear from Mitchell Picton and Coach Dickinson about how Picton got here. That's coming up next as we continue on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. Minutes to kick off from Mosaic Stadium on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network for Young's Equipment, Access Communications, and Casinos Regina and Moose Jaw. Always entertaining. Justin McInnes suffered a shoulder injury. He is out for this game. Taking his spot on the roster is one Mitch Picton, getting his first start as a Rider, and oh man, he loves the fact that he gets to do it at home.
It feels good. I mean, I feel like I've been working hard for a long time and, just grinding and waiting for this moment. So to finally be up and on the active roster feels good.
Did you think this moment was going to come? Because I know you've had some adversity with injuries and that. It's been a while. At some point did you go, is this chance ever going to come?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely have tough weeks where you're questioning things, and we just got to grind it out, keep your head down, and keep working, and trust that your chances are eventually going to come.
You know what you can do. You've shown that through your university career, through your time here. That being said, do you feel that you have to make an impression, that you have to make an impact on the field tonight?
I just feel like I need to go out there and do my job, be sound with all my assignments, and let the rest take care of itself. I'm really not going to try and do too much or overthink things. At the end of the day, I'm just going to go out and play ball and let the cards fall where they may.
Being a Regina kid, there's obviously excitement playing in your first pro game. Is there a little bit more because it is here?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty special. I grew up as a big Rider fan. My family, they're all going to be here. All my friends are in Regina. So, yeah, it's going to be cool, and it'll be a pretty cool experience.
What's it going to be like to not only play for the Riders, but in front of your family and friends, get an opportunity to do this at home?
Well, honestly, it's kind of what I've been doing my whole life. I grew up playing Regina Minor football in high school here, and then, of course, for the Rams. So, my entire life I've been playing either in this stadium or Old Mosaic, and my family and my friends have always been able to watch me. So it's going to be a familiar feeling, I think.
What's it been like from the other receivers, knowing that you're going into your first start here?
Oh, it's been good. I mean, we haven't really treated it a whole lot differently. We've just been preparing as we do every week, and it's just a next man up mentality. So whoever's out there has to go out and perform and execute.
in the exhibition season, you've come out from under the tunnel, but it's been exhibition season. When they start saying, bring them out, and the crowd goes crazy and you're coming out, what's going to be going through your mind?
I'm sure I'm going to be pretty excited, but I'm just going to have to, you know, calm myself down and be ready to go and do my job. I've been one of those people in the stands going crazy when the Riders come out, so yeah, it's going to be pretty cool to be under there.
Do you know where Mom and Dad are sitting? And if so, are you going to sort of be looking at them before you hit the field?
Yeah, they're going to be up there over in our season tickets on the other side. So my whole family's going to be over there, grandparents, aunts and uncles, cousins, my brother, my sister. So, yeah, it's going to be pretty cool.
Is this one of those childhood dreams that's finally kind of coming to fruition here?
Yeah, I think so. You play ball in Regina. You're a kid that loves football, and you love the Riders. So to play here is a dream come true, and I can't wait for tomorrow.
What's it like to wear 81? There's been Elgard, and everyone has kind of wore that before. Some yeah, people might say deserves to be retired.
Especially when he's here this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty special. You hear about those great Riders that have done incredible things here. So it's an honor to wear this number. And yeah, I'm just looking forward to going out there and having some fun.
More pressure on you now that he's going to be here.
I'm just looking to go and do my job. I'm not going to do anything, you know, extra or anything beyond what my assignments are. I'm just going to go out there and execute my job and do what the coaches asked me to do.
Working with the first team this week, and I know you've caught passes from Cody before in practice, but has there been a little bit of a transition period that's needed there, just the way he throws the football, stuff like that, the way you run patterns?
Yeah, and just little nuances in each other's games that we've been trying to get comfortable with. We've been working a little bit extra after practice, just getting some of the routes that we'll see in the game and that kind of thing, and so we can get a little bit more comfortable with each other. But at the end of the day, we're going to go out and play ball and go make some plays.
Mitchell Picton, 6'1", 197 pounds, first year out of Regina, 24 years old, gets his chance. Leading receiving touchdowns in the history of the Regina Rams, and a guy who's been working hard the last couple of years to get onto the roster. As Coach Dickinson told us, Picton has been approaching this in just the right way.
He came in 2 weeks ago, ironically, and wanted to, you know, ask in a polite way how he could get on, you know, and that was when we lost Corey Watson, and I gave him a few things that he could work on, and I said, just keep plugging away. It's not, you know, it's not a matter of if it's going to happen, but when. And sure enough, this week he's up. He's just been steady. He puts the work in. He, you know, he studies film. He works hard in the weight room. He's a good football player, but you can only dress 45. But he's a good football player, and I was hopeful he'd get a chance to play, and I'm happy he's getting his opportunity.
That's a solid move, Mitchell, that Mitch Picton a couple weeks ago said, hey, there's an opportunity for me. Coach, how can I get on the roster? He's clearly done it, and today he reaps the benefits of all that hard work.
Yeah, it's been a frustrating time for Mitch since he was drafted in the fifth round of the 17 draft. Injuries have not helped him. I know a lot of people wondered what this meant for Mitch Picton when they went out and got Braden Lenius and Justin McInnes in the first two rounds of the draft. Mitch, I believe, had some injury problems at training camp again this year.
He did.
As a guy that's called the Regina Rams games for the last number of years, I know Mitch Picton. I know what he's all about. I know what he's like on and off the field. He's a tremendous route runner. He's got great hands. He can be very advantageous for this Saskatchewan Rough Rider offense. And I hope today that he gets a solid chance to show what he's got. I remember here in 17, the exhibition season, Marquise Williams was just inches away from hitting Mitch Picton with what would have been a game-winning touchdown late in the fourth quarter of an exhibition game. It was just like a couple of millimeters past his outstretched hands. If Mitch catches that ball, he's probably gone. If he gets his opportunity, which he's getting here today, I don't know what's called for him in the playbook, but Mitch Picton will make the most of his opportunity that's given to him today, and hopefully for him, this is just the start of maybe him not being off the roster, and this is the start of his career starting in earnest today.
He's in a tough spot, at least positionally, and with how they intend to use him. He's that field wide receiver, which is not heavily targeted, and Coach Dickinson said he and Braden Lenius are going to split reps, right? So that doesn't work. But that said, we've seen, say, Hamilton's Mike Jones take a catch for 75 yards, put up a, because sometimes they sleep on you being that far away, and oh, 81, I don't recognize the number. Somebody falls asleep, you could have your opportunity. Yep. And by the way, there could just be three or four targets just waiting for you. So yeah, I get so excited because Montreal is a team that does it a lot too. They bring in Montreal kids.
Regina kids with a chance to succeed for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Yep. That gets me jacked. And Brayden Lennius is another one of those.
Yes, he is.
Regina born. Sure, he went
you
to school in the States.
You just don't think about that.
For sure. But the way I watch when Dan Clark having a great season like he is, I get very excited about guys like that. So I want this. Picton's been on the roster for a game before. He got in late and ran some routes, but there were no
it's
targets.
It's not a start.
It's not a start, and there were no targets. So this is a different one, and I can't wait for it.
I can only imagine what it's like underneath us right now as he's got everything strapped on. It's just, well, I guess they're out in the field right now, but once they go back up the tunnel and he sits in the room for that 15, 20 minutes before it's time to come out, just all the thoughts that are going to be going through his head.
He tried to play it off in the interview with you. Oh, well, I played my whole career here with the Rams. And I think we all know.
Few more people in attendance today.
I think we all know. Yeah. It's similar, but not the same. Interested also to see the effect this has on Manny Arsenault. Manny has been that field side wide receiver. Now he pushes down to be that third receiver, that slot back, where there are more balls to be had. Curious to see the effects on Manny Arsenault, because as we will talk about a little later in the Rider Nation pregame, one of these American receivers is going to have to come off the roster because Jordan Williams-Lambert is here, just not ready to play.
Are you buying into what Rob said yesterday? Rob Vanstone of the Regina Leader Post will join me at halftime on the cage yesterday, where he had some concerns about this offense because they haven't put the ball in the end zone the last couple of games. Is it just that, or is it the fact that they were playing a very good defense in the Winnipeg Blue Bombers?
Winnipeg Blue Bombers, but also the Montreal Alouettes game. If you take the last five games, they've played, pull out the Ottawa game, they have 52 offensive points in the other four games. That includes, so that's Hamilton, Montreal, right, and the two games against Winnipeg. That's a far cry from what we saw in weeks two and three, right? It has slowed down, though they are still first in yards per pass play attempt, and what is it, number three in yards per run play attempt. The points haven't come as frequently lately.
So what would your over-under stats boy be on Ryder points today? Because I'll put it at 23.5.
I was asked to predict the score. I do a thing with our brethren in Saskatoon, 96.3. And my pick this week was something in the neighborhood of 21-16 Saskatchewan. Okay. Because I just think Montreal is not a very rough defensive team. Their defensive numbers, they've kind of piled them up against lesser teams, the BCs and the Torontos. I'm concerned about how Saskatchewan will get this moving, because there's a lot of slants and stuff. But when's the last time you saw the ball really go down the field? That Kyron Moore touchdown of 98 yards was week three against Toronto. And the deep balls are not plentiful since then.
Yeah, I've sort of got the Riders today. I put an over-under at 23.5. I'm going over, but not by much. I've sort of got this game today being about a 25-20 game.
I can respect that. For Western Pizza, Flam and Sales, Golden West Trailer and Equipment, and your Saskatchewan Party Caucus, we go to break. 40 minutes to kick off between the Riders and Alouettes. We'll return to hear from Coach Dickinson about what he expects from this Montreal team on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.
Time for One Big Number.
One big number for this game is 100.5. When they use just the five offensive linemen to block, the Riders' passer rating is 100.5, tops in the league. And they should be able to keep using just those five blockers today. The Alouettes blitz less than any team in the CFL. By our count, the Riders saw just one blitz in that first game with the Alouettes. That would be a very nice change from the last couple of games. Yes, those two games against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers where that defense was vicious against the Riders. We asked Coach Dickinson, what do you expect both offensively and defensively from these Montreal Alouettes?
We do think they're going to go heavy in the run game, just like they did last time. But Vernon's got a little more mobility, and he's playing with great confidence right now. So our guys know they got their work cut out for them. And defensively, they're the same group. I mean, they were stingy that first game, and we expect a tough game from them as well.
Coach, Montreal's a team that doesn't blitz a lot. What challenges or opportunities does that present?
Yeah, they do a good job of keeping the play in front of them. So we've talked about being good on first down and trying to get them into second and medium, second and short. They do show when you got them backed up or when it's getting close, they will pressure you. But I think the real challenge is just be efficient with what you do and you know, take what they give you. Teams that always play, you know, that play zone and really let you complete underneath stuff are banking on the fact they're going to get a big hit and a takeaway at some point. So we got to also be really good with the ball when we got it.
Coach Dickinson talking about the Montreal Alouettes. He mentioned being good on first down. The Riders are the best in the league at turning first down into second and short or better. So that's been working in their favor. Mitchell, there's no question this is a different Alouettes team than the one that they saw back in Montreal. Vernon Adams, your coach mentioned, in Antonio Pipkin out. William Standback, their stud running back, in Jeremiah Johnson out. Changes on defense as well. But those two on the offense are the ones that, from the outside, we will watch intently today.
Yeah, we will. But if the Montreal offensive line does not protect Vernon Adams any better than they did in the game against Montreal, Vernon Adams may not last this game. Because Antonio Pipkin and Matthew Schultz were both just rocked by Derek Moncrief and by Cam Judge, that resulted in the Riders' only two touchdowns that night from Earl Okine and Charleston Hughes.
Yeah.
Vernon Adams is a different quarterback than those two, but if you don't protect him and Moncrief and Judge can get a shot on him like they got on Pipkin and Schultz, it's going to be a long night for Vernon Adams Jr. But Vernon Adams Jr. is a guy who's very resilient. How many times this year, and let's just go back to the game in Calgary a few weeks ago when the Alouettes looked to be dead,
yep,
and Vernon Adams Jr. in the last, 90 seconds provided several big plays to get that game into overtime, and then, of course, they won the football game. So Vernon Adams Jr. is a guy that you can knock him around, you can get in his face, but he's going to be getting up off the canvas and coming right at you for 60 minutes.
He's a guy who can use his legs very effectively. He is number 3 among quarterbacks in designed runs, number 2 in quarterback scrambles, both in the number of times he's done it and in yards. And just like the Riders have in Cody Fajardo, they have a guy who can both throw. Fajardo a little more accurate than Adams has shown this season, but guys who can both kill you with their feet.
And that's maybe another thing with the absence of Charleston Hughes is for Earl Okine.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to have to make sure that he doesn't let Vernon Adams get to the outside. He's going to have to try and keep that contained, because you know that Vernon Adams will try to sort of maybe get around Leonard and Okine and turn it upfield for some yards. So it's going to be up to those defensive ends to stay disciplined and not really let Vernon Adams get the outside on them.
A little later in the Rider Nation pregame show, we'll hear from Cam Judge about, they got the win in Montreal, but was anybody particularly satisfied with the way it happened? Two-thirds of the game, and then it was rained out. Judge isn't particularly happy about it. He's looking for revenge. The Alouettes looking for revenge, and someone's going to get something
and
out of this one.
There's blue sky here today, so we shouldn't have any repeats of what happened in Montreal.
Fingers crossed. We'll also check the weather forecast. Hopefully it says a lot of sunshine. Mitchell, we'll be listening for you at halftime.
All right,
with Rob
good.
Van Stone. Thank you for being with us.
By the way, with this being 80s Great Commuter, I love the fact that you've got the Zubaz and the mullet today.
You find the Zubaz in the garage somewhere, and you slap it on, and you wear it proudly. 33 minutes to kickoff for our friends at Degelman Industries, Nutrien, Connexus Credit Union, and Vaderstad. Luke Mullender will slide in. We'll talk more about Charleston Hughes. We'll give you the injury report, the weather, and talk about how that Riders defense has been oh so good at preventing yards after contact, and they'll need to do it again. We're back on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. Saskatchewan Roughriders' six-game winning streak was snapped last time out by the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Chance to get back on track today as they take on the Montreal Alouettes. And with what's happening in the early game, there's a decent chance the Riders, with a win, could move into second place in the West, just a win behind the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Riders will need to do it without superstar defensive end Charleston Hughes. Late yesterday, placed on the one-game injured list after initially saying he'd be good to go for this game, Hughes will be out. Pressure falls then on Earl Okine, the first-year man from Florida, to step up and fill his shoes. The running game is something that we will watch intently as well. Last week in Winnipeg, William Powell with 4 carries for 1 yard, a number that nobody is particularly happy with. How can they unleash Powell and his incredible ability to make tacklers miss and how will the Riders defense respond to a new look Montreal Alouettes offense? The quarterback has changed since the game in Montreal. It's Vernon Adams who is running things in the East Division. And at running back, William Stanback, who is at once most the most elusive running back in the league and the toughest one to bring down once you've got contact. Two things we will discuss with our good friend Luke Mullender. For Bayer Crop Science, science for a better life, special blend by Weiser's, SaskTel, and Young's Equipment. Luke steps in. We talk Charleston Hughes as we continue on the Co-operators Rough Rider Radio Network. Just under 26 minutes to kickoff at Mosaic Stadium for the Riders and Alouettes. We're here thanks to Seedmaster, CAA Saskatchewan, McDougall Auctioneers, and AGCO. Luke Mullender slides in. Luke, late yesterday we find out there will be no Charleston Hughes for this game. Who in your mind has to fill that void?
Well, you have to approach it as all 12 guys have to step up. Obviously, losing Charleston, you're losing 13 sacks, I think about 35 tackles. But again, it's going to be a united effort. And it's an opportunity. I don't think we've seen anything out of Earl Okine as yet. So this is his opportunity because, as you know, too, DT, with the addition of JWL, this is going to be a team that has some decisions to make over the bye week. And it's not just the wide receiver group that may be affected. If you want to keep a guy like Stafford and you want to play a guy like JWL, you got Manny out there, like,
yep,
they may subtract from a different position group. So again, you got Earl Okine out there. Chad Jeter just got back into the fold, who I like. LeVar Edwards. Those three guys, it's so crucial in football. We don't need you to be Charleston Hughes. We need you to be you. We need the best version of you we can get. Because if you're going to be Charleston Hughes and you're going to come out here and try to be Charleston Hughes, you're going to hurt the club in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, and there's zero chance Earl Okine could fit into Charleston Hughes gear. Earl Okine, 6'7", 280. Charleston Hughes, 6'1", 243. Different bodies, different players, and to ask him to 13 sacks and number two in pressures and number two in forced fumbles as Charleston Hughes is too much to ask of any non-super duper star.
And if you're looking at the defense, a lot of that goes to Jason Shivers. Shivers understands what he loses in Charleston Hughes, and he also is somebody that's proved over the course of the season thus far that he can scheme up where he's lost something, right? So yeah,
the Micah Johnson and Zach Evans
injuries,
yep,
right? You can add different types of pressure. I remember when we played in Montreal, a big part of that package we felt needed to be a different type of pressure, some looks, and they were bringing guys off the edge. They were getting guys loose. I'm not suggesting you go back to that, but again, with Shivers, I think that he's going to have one or two items if he doesn't think he can get the pressure with four guys. I think he has a couple items that he may be able to incorporate, right, that offset the fact that he doesn't have Charleston Hughes bending the edge.
Could use some a little extra from AC Leonard as well. Four sacks in the season, none since week four against Calgary. Without Charleston Hughes, he goes on the one-game injured list. Let's check out the rest of the injury story. Tecobi Cofield remains on the one-game injured list. Justin McInnes, new to it. He's been dealing with a shoulder injury. And Jordan Williams-Lambert, just back with the Riders. He's on the one-game as well. Coach expects he will be ready to go for the game against Toronto after the bye week. The pregame injury report for Saskatchewan Construction Safety. As you drive to and from the game, the Saskatchewan Construction Safety Association reminds you to slow down in the orange zone. We're 22 minutes from kickoff at Mosaic Stadium. Next up, linebacker Cam Judge on the win in Montreal. Was it satisfying? He doesn't really think so and is looking for even better today. Luke and I are back after this on the Co-operators Rough Rider Radio Network.
Time for one big number.
One big number for this game is 2.8. The Riders' defense has allowed 2.8 yards after contact on running plays this season. That's third best in the league. And they're going to need to keep that up today. Alouettes running back William Stanback averages 4.3 yards after contact. That is tops in the CFL. He's also made more tacklers miss than anyone. He poses a big, big challenge for a tough Riders defense. Just over 19 minutes to kick off at Mosaic Stadium for the Riders and Alouettes. Second meeting between these two teams this season. As you well know, the first one ended about two-thirds of the way through when a lightning storm with heavy rain hit Montreal. So we talked to Cam Judge. Said, hey, you guys got the win in Montreal, but it was a shortened game. Is that the same as any other win, or is it different?
I'd say it's different. I didn't feel too satisfied after that game. And, you know, there's always going to be question marks and asterisks around it. And so I'm glad we get another shot at them. Hopefully finish this game out. and then it'll be decided for sure. It won't be no more question marks.
Because they feel like, well, we certainly would have come back. And I'm sure you guys feel like, yeah, we were up 7 and we probably put you away.
Yeah, exactly. At that point, it's all woulda, coulda, shouldas. And there's only one way to settle that.
They will bring, at least a different offense to this game, a new quarterback and a new running back. Do you expect much to be different from those two?
A little bit. Vernon's a good quarterback. He's a starter. He's a little better than the other guys. He's a little more experienced, you know. I've been playing against Vernon. I think my first varsity game was against Vernon. So
no way.
So it's going to be fun out there. He's a good player, same as his 31. So, we see their tendencies when they got both of them in the game, and it's just all about stopping it.
When I see William Stanback, I see a mountain that really moves quite quick for someone who's the size of some sort of glacial formation from millions of years ago. What do you see in William Stanback?
I see a big physical runner who gets downhill, so we're gonna have to bring our pads, sit behind him this week, and bring our arms, get him down on the ground.
Nice. And tell me about Vernon Adams. You said you played against him since first year in varsity.
Oh, yeah, my first start on varsity, first game of the year was against Vernon. They came into our house and beat us. And he threw a ball right over my fingertips. So I'm trying to get one back on him this week.
Did you know what he would become this season? Because he's bounced around the league a lot. Did you have an idea of what was behind there when he finally got a shot?
Yeah, I've known since I was 14. I feel like he's still slept on. I feel he's one of the better quarterbacks I've played against, especially his arm and his legs. I feel like his arm is pretty underrated. Just because he can run, I feel like people think he can't throw, but man, he's a hell of a player, and it's going to be a good one.
Cameron Judge, at least maybe not during these 60 minutes, but a fan of Vernon Adams, and certainly not a fan of his from the varsity days. Just over the fingertips, you can feel for Cam Judge. Luke, pick one who will have a bigger impact on this game: Vernon Adams Jr., William Stanback.
Well, this Montreal team is a run first team. So William Stanback means about as much to the Montreal offense as Andrew Harris does to the Winnipeg offense. I think that the key here, and I talked about this down in the pregame with Ballsy, is this has got to be the most physical game the Saskatchewan Roughriders play. If you look at the film from the Banjo Bowl, on film what you saw is poor effort, poor technique, and low physicality. All three of those need to be amped up today. And it's one of those games where you look in the mirror and you say, listen, as we approach the final third of the year when we got to be playing our best football, what type of player am I? Am I a player that's going to lock in and respond to not a very good showing? Or am I a player who is going to just go out and do what I did and just be status quo? So today's going to show us a lot about how this Saskatchewan Rough Rider team is formed in terms of their foundation. What type of character does this team have? You're not going to get away with arm tackling this running back. As a matter of fact, this running back will break your arm if you simply throw it out there flailing as if you're one of those big balloon things outside a used car lot. If you flail your arms today,
wacky waving inflatable tube man. Yeah, wacky waving inflatable tube
if
man.
If you do that today, you're going to be injured and you'll be on the sixth game for the rest of the year. William Stanback is too good, and this is a physical, physical team. That's why Montreal is succeeding. Montreal really hasn't been doing anything special. They've just been out physicaling their opponents for four quarters.
Stanback makes a tackler miss every 2.3 carries. It's the best rate in the league. We certainly hope the Riders can stifle that today. The Cooperatives, see Lori Jasper and her team in Yorkton, Capital Auto Mall, Nick's Service, and Willow Park Wines and Spirits helping us bring you this segment of the Rider Nation pregame. We are 14 minutes to kick off. We go to break. We will return to Mosaic Stadium. Beautiful, sunny, 23-degree Mosaic Stadium on the Cooperative's Rough Rider Radio Network.
Time for One Big Number.
One big number for this game is 10. The Riders have allowed 10 sacks the last two games, an enormous number considering that increased their season total to 22 sacks allowed. You wonder if the dam was just waiting to burst. The Riders have allowed the fourth most quarterback pressures, and now the number of sacks allowed on passing plays is fourth as well. Just under 12 minutes to kick off at Mosaic. Riders and Alouettes as the Alouettes take the field with their white jerseys and blue pants. Out of town scoreboard, the Calgary Stampeders with a blocked field goal. They blocked a 42-yard field goal to pull out a 19-18 win over the Hamilton Tiger Cats. The Stampeders moved to 8-4 in the season, so the Riders, we thought they might be able to get past them. They will at best be able to tie them with a win here today. And they'll do so under tremendous weather conditions. Currently 23 degrees in Regina. Sunshine, and it looks like a lot of sunshine in the forecast for the next few days. The wind out of the west at 29 kilometers an hour, gusting to 39, but beautiful, beautiful football weather. Weather report brought to you by Olympic Buildings, putting up quality farm buildings all across Saskatchewan. Olympic-buildings.ca. We'll go to break. Luke Mullender on the other side. We'll talk about what this Riders offense has been these last few games, and can they reverse this curse that's led to those 10 sacks? We're back on the Cooperative's Rough Rider Radio Network. Little over 8 minutes to kick off at a sunny Mosaic Stadium for Salford Group, Connexus Credit Union, SaskTel, and Flamin Sales. The two games against Winnipeg, the Riders offense managed two touchdowns. Drop out the Ottawa game. They are averaging 13 points on offense a game in their past four. Luke, when you watch this Riders offense, where are they at? What needs to change, or is everything okay?
Well, obviously, protecting the quarterback becomes a premium. The problem is that people are looking at that 10 sacks in the last two games and forgetting that it's Winnipeg. Winnipeg is a lot more aggressive than Montreal is going to come out and be today. Here's the thing about the Alouettes. They will not make a mistake. They're not going to be overly aggressive, but one thing they're not going to do is they're not going to let you get behind them, and they're going to make you catch balls in front of their secondary and in front of their linebackers, and they're going to come down, and they're going to make a tackle. They're a fundamentally sound team, and that's what I really like about them. I actually think that the Riders' way of running the football works against them when they play the Montreal Alouettes.
Okay.
This isn't the biggest defensive line they're going to face, but the thing is, they're very athletic, and when you look at how the Riders have approached their run scheme, it's a lot of zone. Right, you're not going downhill at somebody. You're going into a space, and then William Powell's cutting back. I would really love to see today a downhill attack. Attack these smaller linemen, and really start to pound the ball at them versus into a space.
I'm sure William Powell would like that as well. Four carries for 1 yard in the Banjo Bowl. 6.5 to kick off. We go to break. We're back with Luke's three keys to the game on the Cooperative's Rough Rider Radio Network.